The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
And we are back here on Afternoons with Mike once again. Thank you for joining us today. In the studio with us, but socially distanced, is Vicki Matthews with Choices, and it's Choices Women's Clinic in Orlando. Vicki, welcome back to my show.
Thank you, Mike. It's so good to be here, even though you're a little further away.
This is true, but we are in our studio, and
it's nice.
And
it's awesome.
It's your first time in this beautiful new studio that's been built out for us.
I love it.
It's great. It's completely state-of-the-art, and we are loving it and looking forward to the day when we can safely have everybody sitting in our nice desk and studio where we are a little closer than what CDC guidelines would allow us to meet. But I'm so happy that you came in, and you know, your ministry that you do is so important. I know we are serving together on a committee that will one day bring the big event called the Life Chain back to Orlando. That event, we thought it was going to happen this year. Things are a little dicey out there right now, and so the feeling of the organizers were that it might be better to wait yet another year to bring that back, and that being for the safety of all participants. So I'm happy that that's going to happen for 2021, and this year has been different for every organization. It has been for us. I'm sure that COVID has made a mark on you, too.
Yes.
What ways has it affected Choices?
Well, when you think of, you know, a pregnancy ministry like ours, and we're there to serve the community, we in particular are very strategic about reaching those that are going to have abortions. So, you know, when you're talking about women and men that truly are finding themselves in unexpected pregnancy during a national pandemic, now we've really just heightened what their fear, their reasons for why they think they can't have a baby right now, why they would have an abortion or consider an abortion. So these are desperate times for desperate people. And so, you know, we have seen, as well as I think many other pregnancy centers across the country, actually an increase in those that we are seeing, an increase in those that are considering abortion. I feel like we're in for the long haul here. These are tough days. On the good side of that, one of the things I saw pretty early on that I thought, now this is really cool. Thank you, Lord. You know, when people are in desperate times and facing such uncertain times, right, they're a little more open to the gospel. So, you know, we have seen with some of our patients that have come in, they are looking for answers. And boy, we have the answer. The only hope is a relationship with Jesus Christ.
We do have the answer. And that is, like you said, a silver lining in the cloud. But it is distressing to hear that the COVID impact of people who are more isolated from, you know, the general population, to hear that that might be bringing an uptick in numbers of abortions. Would you think that that would be the experience of other organizations, abortion clinics, for example, across America? Would you think that that is, they're seeing such an uptick?
Yeah, I don't have concrete facts on that and research at this point, and I don't think anybody really does. But my sense is that, you know, we haven't seen the tip of that iceberg yet, right? Because when you think of people getting pregnant in March and April and May and June, you know, We haven't seen the uptick yet. You know, people are still losing their jobs. Some people have gotten called back. That's great. But a lot of furloughs, a lot of people, okay, I got furloughed. Now I'm not going back to my job. People who had two income families now only have one. So, you know, the reasons that people say they choose abortion are everything from, it's not really the right time for me to have my baby right now, to I'm not in a great relationship, to I don't really have the I don't feel like I'm financially stable enough to do this. When you think about that, all that gets heightened mm-hmm. in a time like this. So mm-hmm. I do think we will continue to see people struggling with the issue of unexpected pregnancy. Now, whether they will choose life or choose abortion, there's a whole lot of factors involved in that. So,
do you have any numbers at all, Vicki, as to the percentage of people that are, when they're considering an abortion, when they're considering and they find you, what are the percentages that Choices and other organizations like you can actually turn that person around from that decision?
Well, when a pregnancy center, and not all of them are medical, but there's 2,800 pregnancy centers in the United States. Out of that, about 1,500 to 1,600 are medical. So that means they also provide limited obstetrical ultrasound so mm-hmm. people can see their baby. They might offer STD testing, which is a way for them to make another appointment and come back. So limited medical services, certainly, but services medically delivered by medical professionals that are very vital in that person's decision-making process. So mm-hmm. in medical pregnancy centers or like ours, we see on an average, ours would be 75 to 76% each year that come through our doors choose life.
That's wonderful.
So that's really amazing.
Yeah, that is a great number. And obviously, you know, we would love to see that be 100%. And yeah. I would love to see mm-hmm. that more organizations like what you're doing, like what CIRA is doing mm-hmm. in Gainesville and other clinics around the area mm-hmm. have that kind of success. That's really exciting. When you look back, what challenges now has 2020 given you besides the obvious impact that COVID has? It impacted giving your people that donate, and really, I know your organization is really dependent on a volunteer army.
We are.
That been impacted?
Well, I'll address both of those. In the area of volunteers, that's been difficult this year because, you know, we had a period of time where our volunteers didn't come in and we were not quite 100% staff run, but pretty much. We had a few volunteers that we allowed to come in during mm-hmm. the essential when businesses were shut down, mm-hmm. but we were considered essential because the abortion clinics were still open and they were considered essential. So we felt like, okay, life is on the line here and we will stay open, and we did not close. And so, you know, we let some of our volunteers really determine themselves how comfortable they felt with being right there with the public mm-hmm. And coming in. So, you know, we had a period of time where they weren't there with us, and now they've all returned. They couldn't wait to come back. In terms of, you know, support, we are 100% donor funded. So that would be churches and businesses and individuals in our local community here mostly. We have not seen a downturn in that yet. We do have our annual benefit just next week. So would love for you to tune in, and anybody can register. Please register at choicesbenefit.com. And, you know, we've had to pivot that to a virtual event.
That's what I was going to ask you. When you say tune in, is it people will be able to log in and take part in it?
Yeah. So it's only 30 minutes, power-packed, incredible encouragement. Star Parker will be addressing us. She's from Washington, D.C. Mm. Incredible political activists for women and Jesus. And we're going to have a really incredible opportunity there to share some stories that really are life-changing. So, so far, so good, Mike. You know, God owns it all, and his word will prevail. His work will prevail. And so I just try not to get into the weeds of the rest of that.
Yes, and it's really a good thing that you're able to not carry the burden. In the sense of what would be, well, a lot of people would think the worry and the over-concern and just the ability you have to trust God, that's got to be a gift for you.
Well, it's, I would like to say it was that easy, that it was just a gift and it was wrapped all up with a pretty bow.
Well, I know
top,
you have to work
it. But I'll tell you what requires it, right, is he who has been, when you trust him a little, then you are giving more and more and more. Mm-hmm. That's God's economy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have seen what he has done in this ministry in the last 5 to 6 years of growing it from one small little storefront in College Park to a 6,000 square foot legitimate medical clinic on West Colonial Drive, you know, in a $1.2 million building that he provided for us and allowed us to purchase, is remarkable.
Mm.
So when you think of, here we are in the middle of a pandemic, we purchased property 1 mile from UCF to build our second clinic in December of 2019.
Yeah, when none of us would have had any idea that any of this was going to turn out the way it did.
And we were absolutely sure that, man, we are ready to plow through 2020 and we are going to break ground and we are going to raise some funds and we are going to build this incredible $1.2 million clinic right in the face of UCF with a beautiful, beautiful storefront there.
And we talked about all this the last time you were with us.
Yeah. So, you know, we had to really take a step in or a step back and really pause and say, Lord, what is it that you want? We don't want to ignore the circumstances around us. And we really felt confident, our board, our staff, that it was time to continue to move. And so we have broken ground. And we are going to open in the spring of 2021, and we're excited about that. So far, we've raised $400,000 this year, and we're looking towards raising another $400,000 over the next few months to help complete the build-out.
Now, if you could give us a little bit of what would be your wish list for the upcoming fundraiser that's going to happen, you said next week.
Yes.
Give us the details, first of all, on the event. How can people take part themselves? Where do they go? How do they log on?
So if they just would go to choicesbenefit.com, that's choicesbenefit.com, you can register there, and we'll be sending out everything you need, a link. If you want to give us your phone number, we'll send it to you on your phone. And that event is scheduled to broadcast from 7:30 to 8 p.m. October 8th, which is next Thursday evening. And it will just be power-packed with incredible life-changing testimonies. A short message from Star Parker, as I said, from Washington, D.C., kind of bring a little little perspective from the D.C. area is always good this season. And just really a challenge to, what is it that each of us can do to really change lives, change hearts, be a part of the life issue?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so forefront and center right now, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean,
in all the news.
Yeah. You know, Mike, I've been involved in this work, in pregnancy center work, for, I'm just starting my 34th year. But thinking, you know, doing reflection, I have never, you know, as you could probably emanate as well, I have not seen anything quite like this, right? You know, the issues like this have never been forefront and center. They've always kind of been skirted behind the scene of what we call politicians and the way politicians have kind of been politicians, if you know what I mean. But boy, it certainly has come to a point historically that it is forefront and center. And, you know, the life issue is a part of what we're seeing every day. And then to have, you know, the potential of a new Supreme Court justice being elected in the middle of all this is quite astounding.
It really is. And I'm thinking back, that's one of the reasons why I was so excited to have you in right now, is that what I would just call the atmosphere that is around us. It's on newscasts because of the justice that's been nominated by President Trump, Amy Coney Barrett, who is, by what we're hearing, and again, I know only, like every other person, what we know about her is what we've heard about, both from the let's say the Republican side, which would be the administration of President Trump, and then what is heard from a negative side, which is greatly coming out of the fear about the impact that having a Supreme Court justice that would be another conservative justice, which, you know, I'm really always confused by that, because there's seemingly such a great concern about the court changing, let's say, the weight or the direction or the amount of justices that would be more identified as conservative. There doesn't seem to be a concern at all from those, or for those who have been conservative for the last, 20, 30 years or more, where the court has leaned heavily on the liberal side. And that disparity right there, the lack of equality on the conservative side, is obviously not worried about at all in the American news media. But it's almost like that would be the end of the world to have the Supreme Court justices weighted differently than what it's been. And I think that is a telling thing. It really very does speak telling. To this atmosphere that we have in America right now.
Yeah. You know, through that, when you think there's been so much that's been out of our control or out of the control of the states, each state to make even their own decisions because of very liberal decisions that have been made over the last many years by a very liberal Supreme Court. So, you know, who knew that in our lifetime we would ever even see the potential that that court could change, because for how many years now it has been on the liberal side. I didn't know it would ever be in my lifetime. Yeah, some of my cohorts that, you know, are involved in the pro-life work, or people I know nationally who might tend to be more involved on the political aspect. Yeah, we talk about these things. Oh man, what if Roe versus Wade could get overturned? But, you know, in my lifetime, I can't tell you that I've always been encouraged thinking, okay, I'm living for that day. You know, I'm waiting for that to happen. And then all of a sudden you wake up one day and things are looking a little different. Like, you have to begin to say, wow, you know, not only that decision, but there could be some things that change with a conservative court.
Mm-hmm. There could be some massive changes, not only in the area that would have to do with abortions and all of that, but other areas as well, that it's like those that have been so pro liberal stances on abortion, on gun control, on all of these other things, it is like they are in a dead out panic right now.
Yeah.
And I just wonder what kind of atmosphere is that creating around, let's say, your clinic and the air in which you guys breathe when you're on your way to work in the morning. What is that like for you?
Oh boy. Well, I wouldn't say the air that we breathe feels a lot different, because the people that are really called and committed to pregnancy clinic work, like what we do, we're so intentional on reaching those people right at the grassroots of their decision-making process of whether they're going to abort or not abort. And so that doesn't change. In fact, you know, if Roe versus Wade changes, if it were ever overturned, it does not take abortion away, does not take away people in unexpected pregnancies, does not take away the fact that people can still find an abortion somewhere, somehow. You know, it's just going to change the way that it's accessible. Mm-hmm. It will be less accessible. And I think less accessible is an answer, is an answer. But it doesn't change our work. It might change a little bit the methodology of how we achieve what we achieve. We'll have to continue to be relevant to the culture. And being relevant to the culture has to be relevant to the law. You know, right now, a woman can walk into our clinic, Choices Women's Clinic. She most often believes we are an abortion clinic, that we're going to help her get an abortion, because our services are done so professionally, beautifully, high regard and respect of people, met with professional nurses they stay even once they know, hey, we don't do abortions and we don't refer for abortions, but it's delivered with such compassion and being non-judgmental. But what does all that look like when laws change? You know, we're yet to find that out and discover that, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think that may well be what every person has to wait and see, because we just don't know. Mm-hmm. It came up in the presidential debate the other night, and there's, on one hand, there's the assumption, again, this is what changes that air, the assumption that if the justice that's been nominated is there, it is going to be a change. Yet we heard President Trump say that's not on the table right now. That's not part of the issue, I guess. And it's kind of hard to get your brain around all of it. Well, it could be, but I think what he's trying to say is that this is not part and parcel, because she is a justice, and we've seen Supreme Court judges before vote differently than what you would think that would happen. We're not trying to imply that would be the case. And I think he's trying to say it's not a sure thing that she would go this way or this way. I think that's part of the problem, is that this thing is not having a chance to play out. This thing is, it's trying to be derailed before it's ever on the track, if you will. Yeah. And it is going to be a very rocky couple of weeks, I would think, that is ahead of this election that's coming up. And there are so many things, and I don't think the debate the other night really helped calm any of that issue. It was pretty much a rock and roller coaster for the whole time.
Sure was.
And I don't know what to think about it, but it is going to be a crazy couple of weeks.
Yes.
What's there? When you look at that, and what would be the water cooler thoughts that day after the debate? At Choices.
Oh my goodness. I think personally I felt like I needed a detox.
I was feeling bad for Chris Wallace. I told a friend of mine, I think he might need therapy after that.
You know, I guess it just saddens me deeply that we historically have come to a place where we have no honor one to another. You know, this may feel like a stretch to some of the listeners, but, you know, there's such a thing as the sanctity of human life, mm-hmm. and the regard for life. And when we begin to devalue life, when we begin to go down these slippery slopes, which we have now for many years, we do get to this place. I don't know if you remember Francis Schaeffer, mm-hmm. but like, he was the forerunner on abortion and euthanasia, and here's where our culture will be in 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, predicted pretty much in some ways we would almost be where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? It's the regard for life, and that's what just absolutely just makes me, I can't even find words for it, because we just aren't even honoring each other in the processes that have been set into place historically. So mm-hmm. God help us. We need help.
We do. My guest today is Vicki Matthews from Choices Women's Clinic in Orlando. We'll be back with her in a moment. Thank you for tuning in today. Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. We'll be right back. Thanks for being with us today on Afternoons with Mike. In the studio with us is Vicki Matthews. And Vicki, it's so great to have you here. What a great organization Choices is. An organization that stands up in a culture that, you know, we were talking about the loss of respect for human life. Mm-hmm. That would be the big, wouldn't it be, the big umbrella that's over all of what you do, is the fact that the concept, the notion, and just to kind of pull that out a little bit more, the very idea that America would be doing what it is doing in just about every city of America, abortions have been going on to horrendous statistical numbers. And not only early on, it's not like a person having an abortion when they are just barely able to know they're pregnant. but all the way to partial birth abortions, mm-hmm. where in many times we're now having to have laws that's being placed and put on the books to people. This is what blows my mind, that to people's chagrin, that a child that is somehow surviving after an attempted abortion has to have now new laws, new protections. Mm-hmm. It boggles my mind. It's unthinkable that we could have come to that. Mm-hmm. And this is from where I'm sitting. I cannot even get my brain around what it must be like from where you sit mm-hmm. day in and day out.
Well, not only is it, blows your mind, but it's beyond unthinkable. How can this even be? Unimaginable, right? But when we, and it's also celebrated.
Yeah.
So it's not just unthinkable, but in certain groups or with certain people or certain political persuasions, it's actually celebrated. Hard to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, here in Florida, we have abortions through 6 months of pregnancy. You know, every state has some laws on their book. And again, if and when Roe versus Wade would be overturned, those decisions go back to the states.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the state of Florida, I guess we would do business as usual, because right now you can have an abortion with no questions asked all over 68 abortion clinics in the state of Florida. 48 of those do second trimester abortions. So that's through 24 weeks of pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, here in Orlando, we have 4 and 3 of those do late term abortions. So, that's big business. It's called big abortion.
Do you think that the reason that such fear is out there about this, the most recent nominee for the Supreme Court, it would Justice Barrett, if she is placed, and let's say what you talked about would be actually occurring, where Roe v. Wade would be overturned, that was a national precedent that was set by a Supreme Court, what, in 1973?
Yes.
That basically then has been used almost from a legislative standpoint, although it was a judicial hearing. And yet, in our day and age, we see that so many laws, if you will, are given or they're enacted or they're followed up on when there wasn't a law. It was actually a hearing. It was a court. It was a ruling by the Supreme Court, and that became, quote, the law of the land. And yet what you said is actually accurate. If Roe v. Wade were ever overturned, it would not remove abortion immediately mm-hmm. the way it is presented by the news media.
Right.
They would like to make you think, and they drum up fear. Mm-hmm. They drum up notions. They put all of these things out there. But you're right. It would go back to state law.
Mm-hmm.
These United States are states
right.
that are united.
Right.
That is the idea.
Yeah.
We're not very united right now, are
no,
we?
No, definitely not. And they make it a woman's health care issue.
It's yes.
Not
yes.
a woman's health care issue at all, you know? It takes away a woman's right, or a woman should have a right to this. We make it all about someone's rights.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a right to go to the doctor. I have a right to have a certain surgical procedure, but we shouldn't have the right to kill our babies.
Mm-hmm.
But we've sanctioned that as a culture, as a society, and through Roe versus Wade. And we have said, yes, you can. You have the right to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, just like Francis Schaeffer said all those years ago, right? It's a slippery slope. Well, if we have the right to make that decision in the first trimester because, it's really nothing, then we come out with ultrasounds, right? And we begin to say, oh my goodness, it is something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. It looks like a baby. Oh, it looks like a human being. Oh my goodness. And then we begin to turn back the clock of when a baby is viable outside of the womb, when it can be born. Why? Because technology is technology. And now babies, even here in our local hospitals, are viable after 22, 23 weeks of pregnancy. But yet you can go down the street and have that abortion at 24 weeks of pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make any sense in women's health care?
And that is in this state, where we have some states in America where it's all the way to the very end, the very end of the pregnancy, where that baby is ready to be born. And in some, that's why I was hearing the people who have the ministry pre-born. I don't know if you're familiar with that greatly, but they've been on my program here before. And I like that. A doctor was talking to Dr. James Dobson recently, why he liked the term for his ministry being called pre-born is because of the fact that they are alive. They're just not yet born. They're alive. They're a human being, just not yet born. It doesn't mean they're a fetus, that they are a piece of flesh. No, they're actually very much alive and very much a human. And the hypocrisy that we see, the double standard, is so amazing to me, because on a lot of our books, when a woman who is pregnant is run over and killed, they're often charged with two murders. Mm-hmm. But the hypocrisy about that, it seems lost on a lot of people in America. Why would we call that a double homicide when it's legally capable to do that, to kill that one child, mm-hmm. or the one human, in another scenario? It's hypocritical.
Because we've made it that woman's choice.
Yeah.
But what about the father's choice?
Yeah.
Because that baby, unborn baby, pre-born baby, happens to reside in the womb of its mother.
Mm-hmm.
The mother can go make that decision, even when the father says, I don't want to have this abortion.
Mm-hmm. It makes no sense at all. And I do hope that, God help our leaders, I hope that they can sort this thing out in mm-hmm. some way. I know that people, and I remember years ago, I had friends who were arrested. There was a great effort, operation. The name of it is escaping me, but people were basically making stands and being arrested for standing and making a protest for abortion at clinics, and they were being carted off to jail often and charged. And, you know, this has been going on, like we said, now since 73. So it's many, many years into the mm-hmm. into the process. So, well, God bless you. God help us. God help our leaders who are having to really, like I said, sort out this issue, and they need more prayer than what we can imagine. Mm. Give us, if you will, a virtual walkthrough at Choices. I know you've got this beautiful place on West Colonial Drive. It's, as you said, it's a clinic. It is very much a medical clinic that is there. You have more than just counselors. You have medical features equipment and doctors and nurses. Tell us about that.
So most of the women that find us come through some pretty strategic advertising that we do through a wonderful foundation that helps us out here in the United States. And we monitor that very closely. We are very strategic about reaching those who are, I say, in three places: going to an abortion clinic, at an abortion clinic, or looking for an abortion clinic. So there's another whole group of people that are at risk for having an abortion. Why? Because their life really stinks. It's mm-hmm. really messy. They don't have a committed relationship. They don't have, they're not living above the poverty line, all those kinds of things. So there's always, women are at risk for abortion. There's lots of those. They may not necessarily say, oh, I'm going to have an abortion, or I might have an abortion, but the bottom can fall out of their world tomorrow and they may go have an abortion. Why? Because it's legal, accessible, and, you know, easy to get to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we really work on servicing. We service those abortion at risk women as well, but we're very strategic about reaching those who are going to have an abortion. And so they come to us most often believing we are an abortion clinic. We do not deceive them, but through our advertising, they do make that phone call. And when we engage in professional, congenial, loving conversation over the phone about the options she has faced, and that she would maybe want to consider an ultrasound and meet with a nurse to talk about the options available to her, Most of these women do make appointments and they come to us. They do realize at that point we don't do abortions or refer for abortions. Occasionally they get angry and they leave. And we let them. You know, we're not there to proselytize people. We're not there to deceive people. But we are there to help them and make sure that they can make an informed choice and talk about the true options that are out there. So they first meet with a patient advocate. So they check in like a doctor's office. You know, you fill out some paperwork, right? On that paperwork, it says in fine print, we do not do or refer for abortions. And here's what today's going to look like for you. So they agree to all that, sign those papers, and then they are first greeted, taken back into our clinic by a lay advocate. We call them advocates, and that's a volunteer from our local churches. Mm-hmm. Yay for volunteers.
Yes.
And
Couldn't do all of this without it.
No, and they are really the heart, aren't they? Because they're, it's not like they like signed me up for that. Like I'm just dying to do that. But out of the absolute passion, calling, and commitment of their hearts before the Lord, they do feel called to be there for these women. And so they're the first point of contact. And that woman goes back into a room and they're asked some basic questions, not too invasive, because when did you go to the doctor's office and they began to meddle in a lot of your personal life? Mm-hmm. Not so much. So we follow a very high standard of best practices, Mike, to give them a medical clinic experience. It's different than kind of an old pregnancy center mentality of, you know, back in the day when I started in this, you know, you touchy-feely, have your baby and love Jesus. And that's not what that woman is needing if she's considering abortion right now today. Oh yeah, she needs Jesus, but she needs to know first that we can meet her as an individual. We can understand where she's at. We can offer her correct professional information. So from there, a nurse, a licensed nurse would meet with her and take a medical history. That's getting into how far along is she? Is she a candidate for an ultrasound a day, or is she going to need to come back in a week or two, et cetera, et cetera. And hopefully then that ends up being an ultrasound, which, you know, how incredibly amazing and beautiful that is. We have beautiful new equipment. And it is true that many times when people see their child on a screen, it allows them to connect their head and their heart, or it allows them to connect with that true, unexpected a pregnancy that they were not wanting to say, oh, this is real. Now, the misconception is that people see their baby on ultrasound and say, oh, it's a baby. Oh my goodness, I didn't know. That might have been 15 years ago. But today, people pretty much know it's a baby. But what it allows them to do is it allows them, gives an opportunity for the Lord to have that resonate in their hearts. Because whether they know Jesus or not, He is the creator of life.
Now, I know you couldn't answer this from a standpoint of knowing deeply for sure, but would it appear that the that difference that you're talking about right there, that when they see it today and as opposed to 20 years ago, they see that child today, would you believe that that moment helps them overcome maybe lies that they've been told or concepts that they've believed that weren't really true, that even though this was a baby, it wasn't a feeling baby, it wasn't a the same thing that they think of a baby that they hold in their arms?
I hate to shock you, but I think we've come to a culture that knows that and gets that and can somehow resonate with that, whether they want to or not. But what overrides that for them is, but it doesn't matter.
Oh, wow.
My circumstances are so blah, blah, blah. My situation has this issue, and this issue that, yeah, I see that, but this over here takes credence over that. That's where we are. Again, through Roe versus Wade, prolific abortion everywhere, very inexpensive. That's what it looks like. It's legal. I'm sanctioned to do this. I've been given permission to make this decision.
Mm-hmm.
So one plays into the other.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're talking about a hardened heart, a hardened culture, really a nation that really has had our consciences in many cases seared and just burnt, where we don't feel that same level of conviction. We don't have the same level of care. And it really is a choice, you know, speaking of choices, it's a choice that they're making on their own convenience and out of not so much anymore ignorance, but just yes. out of just what is most comfortable for them.
Yeah. So where we see the majority of changed minds at that point are, you know, when they're there on that first visit, for us to build safety, trust, and respect is absolutely paramount. It's not to shove the gospel down their throat, although we do share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to, hey, save the baby. It's an approach that is loving that person where they are, hearing them, giving them correct information, and working with them professionally with medical and non-medical personnel to come to that point where they see that we have no stake in the game.
Mm.
We legitimately cared about them in this beautiful environment that they've been given free of charge, that they will come back. They will make an appointment to come back. And when they come back a week later for an ultrasound, or they come back a week later for an STD test result, because why? We care about their health. We care about if they're going to go have that abortion. Then that's when we begin to see changed minds. I'll tell you what is so phenomenal to me about pregnancy center work. There is life in the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
The words of life matter. So if I go to Planned Parenthood, I get words of death, because that's what they do. That's what they proselytize women and men for. That's how they make their money. That's their gain off of these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Can I share a story with
you? Yes, absolutely.
So I want to give you a day in COVID at Choices Women's Clinic. One day we had a girl who was 15 years old and a woman who was 48 in one day. Here's what they had in common. They both had positive pregnancy tests and they both were going to have abortions. Now, the 15-year-old came in with her mom. They did see their baby on ultrasound. They did cry. They did resonate with that. And through the whole experience of being in Choices, they said, we can't do this. She's going to have this baby.
Mm.
The woman who was 48, 49 years old, you wonder how that can happen, but it did. She refused the ultrasound. She said, no, I don't want to see it. I know what's there and I'm going to have an abortion. But because we care about that person, we care about their health care issues as well, we performed an STD test. She made an appointment to come back 1 week later for an STD test. So what do you think we do in that week? We pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. She comes back for an STD test. They ask her once again, how about since you're here today, let's go ahead and do an ultrasound. She had an abortion scheduled for the next day.
Mm.
She finally agreed to it because that professional medical staff person said, you know, the likelihood of you being able to carry your pregnancy to term at this age would have some risk. So if we could go ahead and do an ultrasound, then we'll know if this pregnancy is viable. So she agreed to it. And when that ultrasound was done, it was seen that she was indeed in the process of miscarrying her baby.
Mm.
Do you know what happened at that point? She began to weep. And she said, thank you so much. This was the darkest, hardest time of my life, but you didn't judge me and you loved me.
Oh.
Now, a little bit of a different story, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But all I can say at the end of the day, that is words of life versus words of death. Had she gone to that abortion clinic the next day, they would have done an abortion. Mm-hmm. Even not needing to have done an abortion, they would have done an abortion. And she would have had to live with that the rest of her life.
Right.
We planted something in her that will last.
Mm.
Those are seeds of hope and redemption that I know the Lord will use in her life.
Mm-hmm. I have counseled so many people as a pastor who have gone through abortions, be it from the mother standpoint. What you said earlier is so true. It affects the men too, whether it's the husband or whether it's a boyfriend, it affects them too. So I've done that kind of counseling, and the grief, the amount of what you're talking about, what that woman would have gone through is indeed a lifetime of regret that can't ever really be undone. I know God's grace mm-hmm. is there and He forgives us. Thank God He does. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that that person is ever going to come to a point where they have absolutely no regret. It is a lifetime situation, isn't it?
Yes, and I am one of those. One in four women have had an abortion, and it is a part of my testimony. Mm-hmm. It's a part of how I came to know Christ. It's a part of why I'm called to do what I do today, because I care about that woman and man
who
is making that decision.
Right.
And what's on the other side of that decision. Mm-hmm. I believe it. We can come to a place where my abortion doesn't define me.
Mm-hmm.
My healing defines me.
Yes.
But I will regret that. Yes. Forever and ever. It doesn't mean I'm not forgiven. It doesn't mean I can't
exactly.
be used. But how can you not regret? That was my firstborn child. That was the firstborn grandchild on my mom's side of the family, my dad's side of the family. Like, that's a big deal.
And you're helping people who can't get their head around that, who can't comprehend that. And I'm sure that woman that you're discussing, the 49-year-old woman, the relief that you saw that came from her is basically of the way out that God has for her. And it's just amazing to me what you guys are doing on a day in and day out. And by the way, thank you for your mm-hmm. candidness, because I would not have even remembered that story for you. Mm-hmm. I know that anytime I'm always mindful of this topic, because it is so near and dear. And so often I found this to be the case, that people who are serving in places like Choices are people who have had that scenario happen in their own life, and they are working out their heart through this way of serving. And it is a marvelous, because we do so often comfort others with a comfort that we ourselves have been given. That's what the Bible
right.
says.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're doing, Vicki. I'm so grateful you're doing it. And I am grateful for the grace of God that is there for the people that that maybe go ahead and have that abortion mm-hmm. and later on will join with people who have gone on that side of that statistic. But there are others that you're going to be able to help that might make a choice not to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for the way you're there. You're fighting a fight that is a hard fight.
Yeah. We have to believe every day. And I have to remind myself and remind our staff quite often that every person who walks our door is a divine appointment.
Mm-hmm.
I know that can sound like a cliche, but when somebody has an ultrasound and they have been loved well and they have been treated with dignity and respect, and they have been given all the information we can give them, all the services we can give them, and they choose abortion, we have to stand in agreement that they were a divine appointment. We don't know how, but somehow God's going to use that in their lives. And we have to rest in that, because women do come in our clinic, and men, and choose abortion.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. We're also there to help them pick up the pieces. You know, I could tell you more of those stories, mm-hmm. you know, that now they regret it. Like, sometimes they might have the abortion on Thursday and they're calling us on Monday. Like, I don't know what to do. I can't get through this. I can't believe I did this. Like, and Planned Parenthood isn't there helping them pick up the pieces. Why? Because if they did, they'd have to admit that what they're doing may not be correct.
Mm-hmm.
But we're there with hearts wide open, with hands wide open to love them through that.
And that's a wonderful service that you're providing, and thank you for doing that. And our prayers are with you, and that as we get to this big event next week, that you're going to find out that there are many people who are standing and willing and excited to be a part of this. Give us those details one more time about your event.
So you can register at choicesbenefit.com. We are hosting a virtual benefit on Thursday evening, October 8th from 7:30 to 8 p.m., filled with incredible life-giving testimonies and just challenges of how we can wrap ourselves around the life issue in a productive way. And we would love to have you join us. So register, and we'll be able to send you that. I'm broadcasting it next Thursday night.
That's wonderful. Vicki Matthews from Choices Women's Clinic in Orlando. God bless you. Thank you again for a heart-touching story today. And that, I pray, will make many people stop and think and pray all the more. God bless you. And friends, thank you for being with us as well on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you the next time right here on The Shepherd.